Good morning, good morning. I'm just going to shamelessly plug, if you haven't got a journal yet, if you have one of these green things, we got lots of journals. If you don't see any back there, come talk to me. I will put some more out. We use this Life Journal in order to keep up in our devotions, but also to talk with God. So we've encouraged you that way. So if you don't have one, we have lots. And if you've burnt through one, like a couple of people have, we've got lots to give you as well. So make note of that, Life Journal. And I'm so glad that I was dancing this morning. I don't know, do you guys think it's wrong to dance in church? No. David danced with joy before the Lord, didn't he? It was like I was tapping my feet and moving back and forth, and it's like, wow, this is great. So it was so much better than Christmas Eve service, where I was trying to provide some percussion for Daryl. Did not work well. It was awesome. Well, I trust you had a great Christmas and a new year, spending with friends and family. I know we did. We enjoyed having Nikayla home, and she was home for 2 weeks this time, and we are so glad about that. We get to spend time with her because we don't know when she's going to be back. She's spending the summer in Rosebud, helping to produce a production in Rosebud, so when that comes up, we'll let you guys know if you want to go see that. But so for us, it was a great family time to get together, that kind of thing. So I trust that was for you as well. We're going to continue on this morning in the area we've been talking about in the Holy Spirit. And I know, especially our leaders in that, we're kind of going, okay, so we got this book that's called The Holy Spirit that we had given out to you, and some of you have purchased that kind of thing by R.T. Kendall. And I know you're kind of going, well, we're following this along, right? And I'm going, no, it's a supplement. Supplements, but we will work through all those things about the Holy Spirit that we want to talk about. But I also want to make sure that we're listening to the Holy Spirit, that we're listening to what He has to say, and walking in that way. So we've sort of been dwelling in that area. So this morning we want to talk about, we're going to find you in your Bibles, you're going to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. We're going to be jumping around with different little places. But this morning, I want to talk about in-betweeners. Do you know what in-betweeners are? That's you and me. You and me, we are living in between what the world is today, what it once was, to what it will be when Christ returns. So that's an in-betweener. And I don't know about you, but being an in-betweener is somewhat difficult. Is it not? You want to be in the world, but as Paul says, be not of the world. Is that not a hard thing to do? It's a very hard thing to do. Because you're pulled between the desires of this world and the desires of what? The kingdom world. Every Sunday you come to church and you hear about God's kingdom and what we as in-betweeners should be aiming for. But yet maybe on a Sunday morning you go away and go, Pastor doesn't understand what I'm dealing with. It's very hard to take those steps that I need to take in this world at times. The question is this: what satisfies your soul? What satisfies your soul? What do I seek to satisfy the longings and the desires that are within my soul? Do I seek the satisfaction of a mate? Or do I throw myself into work? Or do I seek the pursuits of leisure and entertainment? Or I'm bored, so I want children. Or challenges. My girls are going, "You're bored, so you had us?" No. But we have this longing for a purpose and for significance to be fulfilled and satisfied. Wouldn't you agree? That there is this gnawing thing in the back of our mind, in our heart, that says there's just gotta be more. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but if you like playing video games, or if you like going out and you buy a car and you drive that car for a while, and then it's got that new car smell, and you're just like, "Oh, that's so good." And then after about 3 months, it disappears. And you go, "The new car smell is gone. I want something new." Or you play that video game for like 30 days straight. Sure. Playing marbles and putting out those marbles and everything. And then pretty soon you get bored and tired of it. I want new marbles. I want a new video game. Hopefully you don't say, "I want a new spouse." But in truth be known, that's what our world says. Because somehow that person that I married is supposed to satisfy me for life. Is that possible? It's possible. Will they fulfill your every need? No, they won't. The only one that can truly satisfy us is who? God. But a lot of us need to be convinced of that. That God is that, because we live a duality at times. What's a duality? Well, this is what Jeremiah 2:13 says. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns that can hold no water." We seemingly have a tendency to seek everything else except who? God. If the truth be known. Jeremiah is giving a rebuke to the people. God has told him to say this, Jeremiah, because this is true. "You have forsaken me. I am the fountain of living water. And instead, what you've done, you've sought after broken cisterns that cannot satisfy." We seek to have everything else except God. Have you ever had that feeling of unsettledness or discontent? That you have to do something, but nothing is seeming to satisfy it. I've gone through that many times where, just the other day, I was like, "Oh, I was up and I'm walking around and I'm going, okay, I don't feel like watching TV. Maybe I'll go do some drawing." And I did some drawing, but, that didn't satisfy. And I was like, "Okay, maybe I'll play a game," and that didn't satisfy. And then I was like, "Well, maybe I should go wake up the kids. They wouldn't be satisfied now, would they?" But isn't it interesting that I went and looked at everything else except for what? Well, maybe I should come to God and be satisfied and read His Word. Or sit down in prayer. Or meditate. We exchange the truth about God for the lie, Apostle Paul says. We would rather choose to worship and serve the Creator rather the creation rather than the Creator. Is that not true? Romans 1:25. We would rather serve the creature rather than the Creator. We choose to believe the myth that God does not satisfy. Only I know what satisfies and can bring me enjoyment and contentment and satisfaction. And pretty soon we go down the rabbit hole. We look to broken cisterns to provide abundant, enjoyable life. We got to have something new. We got to go out and see that new movie, that new spouse, that new relationship, the new government, the new rulers. The truth is, we prefer out with the old and in with the new. And that great theologian, Garfield the Cat, would say, it's not the having, it's the getting. Isn't that true? Well, do you know, in the Bible, there was a gentleman that pursued this. His name was King Solomon. King Solomon pursued the exact same things that man has done from the beginning of time, and what was his conclusion? Ecclesiastes 1:4 says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What's vanity? What's vanity? Things that make me look good, things that make me feel good, things that don't really matter. He goes on in Ecclesiastes 2:10 to 11, he says, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. How depressing. But wasn't Solomon, wasn't he wise? He was wise. When God asked him, ask of me, Solomon, whatever you want, and I will give it to you. What did he say? Wisdom. And God said, wow. You know what? Because you asked for wisdom, something that most people would not ask for, I'm going to give you everything else that your heart desires as well. So Solomon pursued after the heart of God. He was living after God, but over time, what happened? His affections waned and waned. And then we have the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 2:17, Solomon says this, so I hated life. Because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind. Can you hear the words roll off Solomon's mouth? There's nothing worth it. I hate this life that I have. Then Ecclesiastes 2:24 to 26, Solomon says this, and he says this throughout the book. He says, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of what? Gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. And he says, this also is vanity and a striving after it. King Solomon was the richest person in the world. At that time, he was the richest person in the world. He could have anything and everything, and he did. And yet, he still came to the conclusion, I hate life. Everything is a striving after wind. If you were put in that position, what would you ask God for? What would we ask God for? Forgiveness. The prophet Jeremiah gave a rebuke. He said to the people, you guys have forgotten the fountain of living water. And you've cut out broken cisterns that can hold nothing. Nothing that can satisfy your thirst. And the truth is, we human beings have a nasty, habitual tendency to what? To pursue and worship created things rather than the God of all satisfaction. This is why we get caught up in the old man syndrome or the old lady syndrome that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 7:14 to 20. summarized in this way. It is the state of doing what I do not want to do, even though knowing what I should be doing, I want to do. That's the state of who? The in-betweener. The in-betweener that is lost their way. That has no future purpose or looking or livelihood or satisfaction. That's the person caught in between the two worlds. It's a nasty state to be in. You either serve one or two masters, the Apostle Paul says. Either the master of this world or the master of the world that is and has been and will be. He's the true Lord, Jesus Christ. The in-betweener, we can have satisfaction. Satisfaction of our souls. How does that happen? We need to live a life yielded to the Holy Spirit. That word yielded, highly important. What does it mean to yield? It's a yellow light on the traffic. Okay? What's it mean? Slow down. Wait. Stop. It means to be present. To pay attention. In the Bible, it means presented to God. For Him to use and direct as He wills, as He desires. Apostle Paul says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. That word present means what? Yield. Yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, they didn't face the pressures we face today. They faced even more. They faced death every day. Apostle Paul says. They had to choose, am I going to be faithful to God? Or am I going to go to the other temple and worship there and have a bunch of fun? We can choose to yield to the world, but then we will end up as Solomon and the Israelites. Remember the Israelites? Reading through the book? The Israelites are always seemingly losing it, right? Much different than us today? No. But they were always losing it, and they lost it so badly that they wandered in the desert, what, for 40 years. They got kicked out of the promised land for what? 40 years. Living in exile. You ever been in the wilderness? Why are you there? Why does God put us in the wilderness? If I'm Moses, I'm going, okay, God, I've led these people, and I told them this is what you're supposed to do, and they didn't follow through. So now I have to wander in the wilderness? Caleb and Joshua, you guys have to wander in the wilderness too. Everybody wanders in the wilderness, it seems. Why does God do that? Why does He do that? Story of Abraham. Abraham is asked by God, told by God, take your son Isaac and do what? Sacrifice him. God really asked Abraham to do that? Yeah, He did. His one and only son, in fact. What did Abraham do? He got the stuff together, got the stuff for the fire, took his knife, took his son, headed up the mountain. Son goes, where are we going? Offer sacrifice. Son thinks about that for a little while. I don't see the sacrifice. Dad, where's the sacrifice? Don't worry, son, it'll be provided. And then Moses takes his son, prepares the fire, takes his son, lays his son on top of the fire. on top of the kindling. And he's just about to slay him. What does happen? Stop! Abraham, don't do it. Now I know what's in your heart and that you fear me. What's that all about? God wasn't about sacrificing Isaac. He didn't want Isaac's life. He wanted Moses' trust. He wanted to know if he could trust Moses. When you go into the wilderness, it's about character development. When we go there, when he takes us there, it's about character development. And most of all, will you trust me? And we come back to him and we say, what? Can I trust you? It's a showdown between wills. Can I trust you? And God's saying at the same time, can I trust you? Where do we fall on the ledger? Most of the time we fall on this side and we go, I don't know if I can trust you, God. But we go, that's absurd, isn't it? Because if we're into reading our Bible or listening to testimonies or witnesses, we know that God is faithful. But yet we seemingly fall there all the time because it's about us. And God says, really, it's about me. And will you trust me? Can I trust you? Can God trust you? That's a big question. He says you can live as a broken cistern or you can live as a whole vessel. What do you choose? How do we live as a whole vessel in this world? You just said that we live as in-betweeners. Christ died on the cross, gave his life for us, and rose from the dead and did what? Gave us the Spirit. He conquered sin and death. Sin no longer has power over our lives. He says, you can do all things through who? Through me. Through me. In Christ, we have been given the ability and power to overcome sin. This is by the Holy Spirit. Sin no longer rules over me unless I give it the power. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 3 says this, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. It's do it. It's proactive. The wording is, you can do this because why? For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, Paul says. Your life is hidden in Christ. In Christ, nothing is impossible. If I'm hidden in Christ, everything is possible. Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Paul says, so walk in him in Colossians 2, 6, 7. Walk in him. Not what if, not maybe. He says, walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Are you thankful this morning? Are you walking in thankfulness? Biggest thing we can be thankful for is because we have Christ who has freed us from sin and death. And we have power over sin and death. In who? The Holy Spirit. His actual presence among us. Ezekiel. Prophet Ezekiel says this to the Israelites, the word of God. He says this in verse 25, 27, chapter 36. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Do we believe that? Is that true? Are we living that way? Because Ezekiel said, Jesus said, that is true. I've accomplished that. God said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to change that heart of stone that you have, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in there. And that's the Holy Spirit. Am I listening to the Holy Spirit? Am I talking with God? Is this real? Is this reality? Or am I just playing? I can preach about the Holy Spirit till the cows come home. Believe me, I can, right? But unless we take him at face value and start practicing and implementing and stepping out in belief and trust with God, all the preaching in the world will not make a difference. But the Word will. And God is saying, can I trust you? You have now been given the truth of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing with him? What are you allowing to do with you? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul saying, you can trust God. You can trust God. And when he takes us out into the wilderness, we can still trust him. And we can know for sure that he's asking, can I trust you? Can I trust you? So no matter what we face coming this year, in everything, God is saying, can I trust you? Can I trust you? And if I give you something little to work on, be faithful in that. Because if you're faithful in the small things, God says what? You'll be faithful in the bigger things that I'm going to give down the road. So he says, yield. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit live in my life? How do I have soul satisfaction? I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, 1 to 2, Paul says, what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present. Yield your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the first way. Present your body as a holy sacrifice. Yield to him. Because the secret is this, what? It's not really a secret. God cannot fill what he cannot have. Is that true? God cannot fill what he cannot have. If I'm not going to give him my heart, he can't fill it. If I'm not going to give him my hands, he can't use them. If I'm not going to give him my eyes, he can't use them. But who can? The world, myself, self. If you're not using the members of your body, Paul says, for God, then who are you using it for? The world, Satan, the devil. Second thing, so first thing, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Yield. Yield. Second thing, ask. The Apostle Luke says what? And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks it will be opened. Right? And then he goes into a practical application. He goes, if then you, fathers who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask. Well, it might be kind of weird, kind of eerie, maybe kind of terrifying, fearful. Who's speaking? The enemy. He's been speaking for years. He spoke for years to me about that because that was a scary place and I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to become crazy. I say that with respect. But that's what I thought. If the Lord did not want us, you and me, to be filled by the Spirit, to yield to Him, why did He leave the teaching in the Bible? Why does He guide us there? Why is it there? If the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and all the disciples heard God speaking and God directing them, does that not apply today? Does God not speak? Can we not hear? The cessationist would say no. When the Bible, when the Scripture was done, He stopped speaking. How do you deal with Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. How does that apply? If God spoke through His Spirit yesterday in Bible times, then He has to be speaking today. Or else Scripture is null and void and not worthy, trustworthy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I need to yield, I need to ask, and third, I need to obey. Walk in obedience, He says. Acts 5:32. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Obedience is huge. I can't be living between two worlds. I can't be going down that road of embracing the in-betweener, the old man syndrome that Paul talks about. We will be tempted. There is a beachhead established because our body is susceptible to the old way, the old man, the old way thinking until we are fully redeemed. But we're not prisoner to that because God gave us the Spirit. We are not prisoners. So He says God gives the Holy Spirit to them who obey. So when you come to salvation, when you call upon Jesus as Lord and as your Savior, the Spirit is given to us. That's justification. And then, this whole thing about lordship. Jesus, I believe in Jesus, He's my Savior, but now I need to take those steps to make Jesus my Lord. That's sanctification. That's becoming white as snow. That is walking in obedience to Him and the Spirit coming upon us in greater, greater measure. I really like to think about this as yielding, as myself yields to the Spirit within me. He becomes more prominent. I obey Him. I listen to Him. I follow Him. Can we trust God? Yes. Can we trust Him to get us through this life, through living in this world? Yes. Because He's given us the Spirit. Galatians 3:2, the last one is faith. So we have yield, we have ask, we have obey, and we have faith. Galatians 3:2. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Trust God. That's what faith is. Believe. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation by faith. Does He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Galatians 3:5. What's Paul saying? Believe. Faith. Just as Abraham did and was credited to his righteousness, you will receive. So much more we could talk about. So much more to share. So much more things that I'm excited about. And hopefully you are too. But will we yield to the Spirit this year, this day? Live in joy, live in abundance. Live as an in-betweener that is so satisfied. Walking in His power, walking in His presence. Not our own, not the world. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. You are so good to us. When we mess things up, You provided the way. And even when we live messed up, You've provided the Spirit for us. We simply need to believe. We simply need to trust. We simply need to obey and ask for Your presence to be upon us. God, we want so much that You can trust us. That You believe in us. We don't want to wander in the wilderness forever. So bring those lessons. Bring them to us and let us be quick and narrow to learn them. And to act in trust. Bless us with Your Holy Spirit. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus.